and welcome to the Antioch Fort Worth Weekly Podcast. At Antioch, our desire is to cultivate a passion for Jesus and his purposes on the earth. To connect with us in community, partner with us through giving, or visit on a Sunday morning, please visit antiochfortworth.com. All right. Good morning, Antioch. I am so excited to be here with you today. Welcome to those of you worshiping with us online. We're so excited that you decided to join us today. So, like Jamie said, my name is Bailey Hinsey. My husband and Christopher and I have been at Antioch for 5 years now. And can I just say, like, we love this church. Like, we really, really do love this church. And it has brought so much healing and redemption and growth in our life. And so we're just so thankful for the body of Christ here at Antioch Fort Worth. I started working part-time on the college ministry staff, and they're all gone, but if they were here, they would cheer for me, I think, I hope. But they are great. I get to disciple the college girls, and I love it. I love to watch God captivate their hearts and just send them out on the trajectory God has for them, and it's just been such an honor and a privilege to do that. And so I'm excited to be here with you today. I'm also a little nervous, just going to be honest, but just so thankful for Jamie and Kim and getting all these speakers to come and share their stories. It's just been so encouraging, and I'm just so honored and privileged to get to be a part of it. So thank you. So I want to get started by introducing myself to you. This is my family. They're pretty great. My husband joked that it took me longer to pick the picture of my kids than to write my sermon because they're just so cute and I love them so much. But this is my husband, Christopher Hinsey. He is a businessman and an entrepreneur, but more than that, he is a pioneer full of faith. And he dreams the dreams of God and he chases after them with all that he has and all that he is. And I'm just so thankful for him and what he does to our family. So thank you. And then our three kiddos, Kaysen, Michael is our oldest, and he is our sweet and gentle, pure in heart, just good friend. And then Chandler Bex is our middle. She is our spitfire, firecracker, all go, no quit, full throttle, mud in my princess dress kind of girl. And then Kaylee Ryan is actually 9 months old now and walking, which is crazy, but she is our joy bomb. She smiles. She has the best smile in the whole world, and it's just so great. And fun fact, the reason I said all of their middle names is because they're actually named after famous Manchester United soccer players. And if you don't know who Manchester United is, you can come see my husband after church, and he will educate you on all things English Premier League and the greatest club in football history. So, all right, I'm going to get started. I'm going to pray, and then we'll jump on in. All right. Lord, we just say thank you for today. Lord, we pray that you would just come and take over right now. Jesus, would you just come and take over? Would you just breathe life in this room? Would you just reveal more of yourself today, more of your heart, more of your love, your grace, and your calling on our lives, Lord? And we just pray that you would be exalted today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this summer we've been going through this series, Signpost People in Everyday Life. And we have had an incredible lineup of speakers telling us their stories. And we've talked about Pentecost and the incarnate Jesus. We've heard about Jesus being our faithful shepherd, about being worshipers in all seasons, about anxiety and how to walk in a peace of Christ, that Jesus meets us right where we're at and brings radical transformation. We've talked about the practice of knowing God and knowing ourselves, and about being face to face with Jesus and breathing in his life and breathing in him out to those around us. It has been such an encouraging and challenging series, and today I just get to continue talking about this and just sharing our story. And I'm calling this the three markers of a signpost person. So this definitely isn't like an exhaustive list. We could probably come up with like 100 right now just sitting in here of a marker of a signpost person. But these are just the three that have really played out in my life and that I've seen God do in and through us. And so my main thing today is that a signpost person lives a deeply rooted life, completely surrendered to the Lord as they arise into the fullness of who God has created them to be. A signpost person lives a deeply rooted life, completely surrendered to the Lord as they arise into the fullness of who God has created them to be. And I just want to say that being a signpost person isn't about a technique to master or a method to follow or a step-by-step process, but rather it's simply about entering into an intimate relationship with Jesus that overflows into everything that you do. It's a constant realigning of ourselves, turning toward the Lord, saying yes to Him over and over and over again in every season of our life. So today I want to read from Colossians 1. So if you'll go ahead and turn there or pull that up on your phone, it'll be up on the screen. And if you will, go ahead and stand up for the reading of the word. We're going to start in verse 9. Colossians 1, starting in verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. This is the word of God. Please be seated. So, Paul actually wrote this letter while he was in prison to the church of Colossae. And he actually did not plant the church of Colossae, nor had he ever met any of them. But he was friends with one of their leaders. And his heart in writing this, why he wrote this passage to them, is he wanted them to love God. And he wanted to see it bearing fruit in the way that they lived their lives through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And that is my prayer today for you, that you would be challenged, including myself, to a greater devotion to Jesus, the exalted Messiah, and to see it bear fruit in the way you live your everyday life. So, my first marker of a signpost person is that they are deeply rooted. A few weeks ago, Ashlyn, he put up some pictures of some different signposts, and he shared that the thing that they have in common is they all point to something no matter what the weather is outside, right? Whether it's sunny, whether it's kind of cloudy, or it's a full-blown storm. Well, I'm going to say that the reason these signs can do that is because they are anchored into the ground, because they are rooted down deep. They're stuck in. They have a firm foundation regardless of what is happening around them. The same goes for us. If we want to be a signpost person, we have to be rooted down deep. We have to be stuck in. We have to have a firm foundation. There are three things I want to talk about us having a firm foundation in. And the first is we need to be rooted in Jesus. I know this kind of seems like basic or obvious, but I just really don't think we can talk about being a signpost person pointing to Jesus without talking about being rooted in Jesus and who Jesus is, because you don't ever get past this. You don't ever grow out of knowing Jesus. You don't ever grow out of needing Him, being desperate for Him in your life. You don't ever grow out of this. We have to be rooted in who Jesus is. In verses 15 through 20, Paul writes this beautiful poem describing who Jesus is. And Tara Lee Cobble, in her podcast, The Bible Recap, she actually says that she believes this is the most succinct, beautiful description of who Jesus is. And if you want to memorize scripture, to start here. And I'm going to agree with her and say that this passage has to be in you, that you have to know that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, that in him and through him all things exist and live and have their being, that he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He is preeminent, the fullness of God, reconciling all things to himself. This is our Jesus. This is our King, and we need to be rooted and anchored in this in every season of our life, of who Jesus is, constantly looking to him and through the lens of him in everything that we do. The second thing is rooted in your identity. So the passage in Colossians 1, it actually goes on to say that Christ in you is the hope of glory. The miracle is that Christ is in you. The hope of glory, Christ in you, the hope for things to be made right, the hope for reconciliation, the hope for the kingdom of heaven on earth is Christ in you. You carry the very message of reconciliation in your very being. You are a son, you are a daughter, an heir to a royal priesthood. You have an inheritance. You are a new creation. And verses 12 through 14, it states that you have been qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. You have been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. This isn't like you're kind of okay. You kind of meet the basic requirements. We'll give you a 70. You pass the test. No, it's through Jesus Christ, you have been fully qualified, fully justified, fully delivered and presented holy and blameless as you stay stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel. Last thing, rooted in community. We were created to do this life together with one another. Paul is actually writing this letter to people he's never met because he wants to encourage them. And he says that their faith and their hope and their love encourages him. And so community matters. And I think, honestly, every speaker up here this summer mentioned something about life group. Like I said, life group encouraged me. Life group bought me meals. They got us connected with the right doctors. They prayed over me. They believed for me. Life group matters. We were created to do life together. We need each other. We see more of Jesus when we do this life together. In his book, Deeply Formed Life, Rich Velotis, he's talking about this lesson that he had heard from a speaker, and they're talking about the redwood trees. And he talks about why the redwood trees are so centered and strong. And it's actually because the way their roots grow. So their roots actually only go about 5 or 6 feet deep, but they go hundreds of feet outward. And they all intertwine and they all mix. And so the reason that they can be stable, the reason that they can grow high is because of the support of all the other trees, because they are rooted together. That's what we need to be, rooted together in community. My second marker of a signpost person in everyday life is that they are completely surrendered. They live a surrendered life, which means they keep saying yes to Jesus. They keep turning toward him, keep laying everything down at his feet. A surrendered heart is one that has a yes in it before Jesus even asks. In Colossians 1, verse 9 and 10, Paul says that he prays they would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I think if we want to be filled with his will and his wisdom and his understanding, and we want to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, well, we first have to empty ourselves. We must surrender our hearts, and from a surrendered heart will flow a surrendered life. I read a quote in a book by Pete Scazzaro, and he talks about is spiritual healthy leadership. And he talks about resurrection, but he says every resurrection is always preluded by death. So in a moment, I'm going to take some time and talk about rising into the fullness of who God has created you to be resurrected with Christ. But first, you have to surrender. If you want to walk in the fullness of who God has called you to be, you want to be resurrected with Christ, you first have to be buried with him. You have to die to yourself. And I just want to encourage you, don't run away from the place of surrender. Press into the place of surrender. Lean into the place of surrender, of laying yourself down. Because this is what's going to bear the good fruit that Paul talks about, is laying yourself down. And can I just say, there's joy in the surrender. It may be hard at first, but man, he's so good and he's so faithful and he redeems all things and he uses all things and he wastes nothing in the kingdom of God. Your surrender matters, and there's joy when we lay it before him and say, I trust you, God. I trust that your plans are better than my plans and that you have good plans for my life, whether I'm in the desert or I'm in the garden, that you are a good father. In light of God's mercy, in light of who God is, our true and proper worship is to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. We have to surrender. We have to say, not my will, but your will be done. We have to lay down our expectations, our plans, our agendas, our dreams, our hopes, and find it all in Jesus alone. Just like we were singing, we just need you, Jesus. We need you. You are the answer. Jesus is the answer. He can have it all. So some of you may have heard of the Moravian Brethren, and they started this 24/7 prayer meeting. And it actually went on to last 100 years. Well, from this prayer meeting, there are actually lots of missionaries launched out a missions movement called the Moravian Missionaries. And a group of men actually sold themselves into slavery because they wanted to preach the gospel to the slaves. I'm going to say that's a surrendered heart, that's a surrendered life to say, okay, God, I'm going where you're going. I know you're calling me here. And the thing, their mantra, or what they would say, their anchor statement was, may the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. And it was said that as they were on the ships, they would yell this to their families. They would say, may the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. And that was the cry of their heart, that they wanted him to receive the reward of his suffering. And I would say his reward is surrendered hearts. It's hearts that have been laid down and fully surrendered to him, devoted to him. That's his reward. That's what he wants, people to know him, to walk with him, to hear him. And I want this to be the cry of my heart. I want to be able to say, may the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering in my heart. Do it in me first, Lord. Would you do it in me first, Lord? Would you receive the reward of your suffering in my heart, in my family, in my home, in my workplace, in my neighborhood, wherever I am? I want this to be the cry of my heart. I want to place my life at his disposal, where he is working, so he can accomplish his purposes through me. We must be emptied of ourselves so we can be filled with him. Because it's him alone that empowers us and enables us to be a signpost person. I can't grit this out and muster it up. I need Jesus. I need Jesus to be a signpost person. I can't follow a formula or do the step-by-step process. No, I need Jesus. So my third and final marker is this: arise into your assignment. So if you are ever around our family for more than 30 minutes, you're probably going to hear this word, arise, come into conversation. The college kids actually make fun of me for it and say that a Hinsey teaching would never be complete without talking about this word, arise. It is in us. It is part of who we are. My husband has named three of his companies after it, and he actually just started a podcast called Arise, which I'm going to give a shameless plug for. Because it's literally what we're talking about this whole series. It is about businessmen and entrepreneurs walking in the kingdom of God in their workplace. And he talks about they just come on and they share their stories, they laugh. People like Dr. Brian Bird, Todd Knight are on there, and they share how God has moved and worked in the marketplace and how they are following Jesus in the business world. And it's just so encouraging to hear, and it's so challenging. So I think you should go listen to it. So where does this word arise come from? A few years ago, Christopher, at the beginning of the year, he was praying about his word for the year and what's going to be my word for the year, what's the Lord speaking, and he said it was arise. And it comes from Isaiah 60, 1 through 3. And it says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and the kings to brightness of your dawn. So we took some time to dig into this word, and it was actually the same word for the women's conference that year, which was really encouraging and really cool. And the speaker, she talked about this word arise, meaning occupying your space. It's not less. It's not more, it's not, oh, look at their space. I want that space. Oh, that's a little bit bigger than my space. Should I have more space? Or, oh, I just want to stay right here in this little bubble and I don't want to go out there. And it's no, occupy your space. You have a role to play. You have an assignment from God. You need to occupy your space. So, during this year, I was reading the Old Testament, and I kept seeing this word, arise, actually pop up a lot in the Old Testament. And I was like, okay, how is this connected? And several times, it would say things like, arise and go do this. Arise and go take the land. Arise and go to battle. Arise and go on this journey with me. Arise and come to me. And many times, the thing that was required of them after arising was like a battle or something really hard that required utter dependence on the Father. And so I want to say that arising is to be utterly dependent on God for everything. Many times, arising is followed by a battle or a hard thing we must go through to walk in, in order to see the promises of God fulfilled. Sometimes there's not a way, but through the hard. Arising into our assignment, it isn't a battle, a fighting, of gritting it out. I am a grit it out kind of girl. I like to grit it out. But I think arising is actually a battle of surrendering yourself to the Father and being used for his purposes and his glory and trusting in him, trusting that his plans are better than yours. Arising is about being filled with him and walking in who he has created you to be, a new creation in Christ. It's the fullness of Christ in you that is the hope of glory. You have been anointed. You have been called. You have a purpose. You have a destiny. Regardless of where you are, you have a space. Whether you are a businessman or an employee or a nurse, or you have a space, and God is asking you to occupy your space and occupy it to the full. So I just want to share some of our personal story and kind of how this has played out in our life. So my husband and I, as Jamie said, were part of a missions organization during our time in college, and we actually immediately moved overseas right after I graduated from college. We spent time in sub-Saharan Africa and the Middle East, and we had actually traveled to over 25 countries in our first 3 years of marriage. And we loved it. We loved traveling. We loved going to all these nations. We loved being a part of what God was doing in the nations. We both got a separate crazy call to the nations. It was so cool. And so we were so excited. However, after about a year that we'd been living in Morocco, some things were starting to shift in our organization. And there were just things that we didn't feel comfortable submitting to, and we didn't have peace about it. We were young, we were dreaming the dreams of God, and we kind of felt pushed out. And we felt like we didn't have a place anymore. We didn't have the pastoral support that we needed to kind of help us process this and work through this. And so we started talking about, okay, what does it look like for us to leave? Do we stay in Morocco? Do we start our own organization? Do we go back to America? Like, what do we do? And I honestly started to get really like frustrated. I was really just starting to get comfortable. We had just started to launch our first house church. So we had a house church in our apartment building. We knew God was moving and working. We love the nations. And I was just angry. I was like, we said yes to the nations. We surrendered to you. We gave you our lives. And now this, now I have to lay it down again. Now I have to surrender it to you again. I thought I already surrendered. Yeah. I didn't think I had to do it again. I didn't think I have to relay this down to you, Lord. But I found the root, the reason that I was actually mad was because my identity had become wrapped up in being a missionary. I thought that that was the only way to serve God. And I honestly was very critical and judgmental. And I thought that if you weren't a missionary, you weren't fulfilling the call of God on your life. And so I was afraid. I was afraid to let go, to surrender, because I thought that this is it. This is the only way to walk with the Lord. I have to be a missionary. I have to go to the nations. That's it. That's all I can do. And I was serving the task and not the king. I was serving my job and what I was doing and not Jesus and who Jesus was. I wasn't rooted in Jesus. I was rooted in my role. And I thought I was cool. It's like, I'm a missionary. We talked about ourselves all the time because we thought that's what people wanted to do, just hear our stories and talk about us. And I was like, we are bad listeners. Like, we need to listen to other people's stories because it's not just about us, you know? And so we decided to leave our organization. We left Morocco. That's where we were living at the time, Morocco. And we moved back to America with no jobs, no money, nothing. We literally owned, I think, 3 or 4 suitcases, and that was it. Everything we owned was in these suitcases. And we were told that we had quit, that we were failures, that we had missed the mark, that we had missed God's call on our life, and that we were just going to live in suburbia America and do nothing. So that's what we thought. We were like, okay, well, we're done. We missed it. We missed the call of God on our life. And so we moved back to America with nothing, and we didn't go to church. We didn't get plugged into church. We actually lived with my husband's mom at the time, and we just were kind of going through the motions, trying to find a job, trying to get a car. Like, we were not pursuing God. We were not having quiet times. We were not praying, like, nothing. We were, like, checked out. Like, we were done. We're done. And we just stopped. We said we'd quit, so why keep going back? Then we actually found out we were pregnant 2 weeks after we moved back, too. So I was like, okay, great. Now we're going to have a baby. This is so good. And so after our son was born, Kaysen, we visited Antioch basically out of like a desperation. We were like, we need God. We need God. We know he's good. We know he's faithful. We know who he is. We need community. We need to be surrounded by him. And so we started to say yes again. We started to say yes to church, started to say yes to life group, to community, yes to listening prayer sessions, yes to mentorship, yes to healing, to wholeness, yes to starting to step into leading. Okay, we're leading a life group now. Okay. Then after a little bit, talk of the nations came back up. Talk of us going to the nations, doing different things. And this fear rose up in me, a fear of failure, a fear to try again and mess it up. A fear of, we're not good enough. We already did that and we missed it. Why would we try it again? Clearly, that's not the call of God on our life. Like, we failed. And so I was just so afraid. And I was like, no, I drew the line. I'm done. I'll lead a life group, but I'm not going to the nations again. Sorry. That's where I draw the line. And then through lots of prayer and people speaking into our life and calling God out in us and just believing and encouraging us, I just felt the Lord say, no, this is in you. The nations are in you because of me. This hasn't gone away. You didn't fail. You didn't miss my calling. Now get up and occupy your space. So we said yes. We said, okay, this is what God's calling us into. We're walking into it. We didn't miss it. He is moving and working. I'm saying yes. So we started to take survey trips. We started to go to the nations. We started to go to the nations' prayer meetings and praying for the nations. We started to lead trips. And God has fully redeemed this calling to the nations in us. He's using it. It may not look how we thought, But he's using this call in us. And we're still in process, aren't we all, of figuring out what this is. But he has fully redeemed it. That's who he is. He wastes nothing. Our time in the nations was not wasted. It wasn't wasted. He's using it and he's moving and working in and through it. We started to say yes to arising into our assignment. So I actually shared this very portion of teaching. Our college group took a spring break trip to Tijuana, Mexico, and I brought Kaylee with me, who at the time was 5 months old. And I was pretty anxious about this trip, honestly. They're laughing at me because they all know what I went through. And I was like, oh, okay, Lord, okay, I'm going, I'm stepping in, I'm saying yes. And then I just don't recommend the airline we flew ever. Like, just don't, I'm not gonna say it, but like, just don't fly it, okay? Because it was awful. We had flight cancellations and flight delays and then overnight layovers, all the while I had a 5-month-old baby on my chest. And I'm like, this is great. God, you're moving. Okay, I'm here. And I was frustrated. I was honestly pretty mad. And I was like, ugh. So I texted Christopher and I was like, why do we do this? Why do we do this? This is so hard. And he actually sent me back a GIF of like Jesus winking. He's like, hey. And I was like, oh, yes. That's why we do this. But in all honesty, it is, because he's worthy. He's worthy of my surrender. He's worthy of my sacrifice. Like, he is good. So I am sharing a teaching at this trip, and I had this whole plan. I'm like, okay, I've got Kaylee. I'm going to give her to Charlotte right before I start teaching. It's going to be great. I'll get up there. I'll do teaching, and then I'll take Kaylee back, and it'll be fine. And literally right before I get up, she starts like rubbing her eyes. She starts getting super fussy, and I'm like, oh, you're tired, aren't you? I was like, okay. So we're doing worship, and I strap her in the little ergo. I don't know if you know what that is, but the little carrier thing. So I put her in there, and I'm like, okay, bouncing during worship. I'm like, this is going to go great. Woohoo. We're worshiping. And then Ben gets up there, and I look down, and she's like passed out, snoring on me. And I was like, okay, so I'm not going to wake you up. So I guess we're just going to do this together. So I get up there, and I'm preaching with her on me, like bouncing with a baby on me, patting her butt. And I'm like, yes, Lord, this is great. She's snoring the whole time. I can hear her snoring. But as I'm talking about this portion of arising into your assignment, I so gently hear the Lord say to me, Bailey, this is you arising into your assignment. This is you mothering your child and testifying to the goodness of me. This is your space. Occupy it and occupy it to the full. A few months before that teaching, we're at life group one night. See, all these things about life group. Go to life group. So we're at life group one night and we're singing that song, Child of God, where it says, I am who you say I am, not gonna sing it. I'm not a singer. And I was asking the Lord, okay, Lord, well then who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And I just got the words warrior mama. And I wrote it down and I got some scripture and I prayed into it and I shared it with some of the people I was walking with at the time and asked them to pray into it. And this was like my word for that season. Like, I am a warrior mama. I am called by God to be a mother to my children and walk in the fullness of who he has created to me to be. This is who I am. So I finished my teaching and I'm outside and I'm like getting the stroller out, you know, and I'm about to put Kaylee in, and this college girl, she just walks right past me. She's like, hey, Bailey, you're a warrior mama, and just keeps walking. And I like literally almost fell to my knees and I was like, that's God. Like, God is using you to speak to me right now that I am where I'm supposed to be, that you are using me right here, right now. And it was so encouraging to my heart. And she had no idea. She literally had no idea. And God was using her to be a mouthpiece to me in that time. And I was like, man, this is it. God, like, you are moving and I am here. And you're just, it was just incredible. I was just so filled with so much joy and excitement that she shared that with me. So I want to wrap up with one final story. So One of the things that in our missions organization that we would do were these things called night meetings. And these night meetings were where we would gather local villagers. This was in sub-Saharan Africa in Zambia. And we would be out in like the remote bush of Africa, like taking DAF trucks to get there, just like really far. And we would gather all these villagers, probably hundreds, sometimes thousands of villagers, and we would have this thing called a night meeting. And we would have a campfire, and then we would show the Jesus film, and we'd put up a projector, show the Jesus film, and then someone would get up, and they would share their testimony or a word from the Lord, and then we would just have worship, and we would pray, and we would worship. And one of the things that honestly always stuck out to me that I admired most about these meetings was honestly the moms. And the moms would be having their babies on their backs, like they called it papua. And so they'd be on their backs wrapped in, and the moms would just be like walking around. They would be worshiping. They would be praying and interceding for the people. And God was moving and working. People were healed. People were set free. It was just an incredible time of ministry. But the moms always stuck out to me, and that they would have their toddlers on them. They would be like, their toddlers would be asleep on them, patting them. Their middle school kids would be walking around praying and interceding and believing for people. And I was like, yes, that's it. I want my family to be marked by this. I want to take my kids along with me and know that my kids are never a burden. They are always a blessing. They are part of my team. They have an assignment from God. And if I'm called, they're coming with me. And God is moving and working in and through them. They're not a burden or an extra bag I have to carry or I have to bring a car seat. Oh my gosh. No, like they are part of my team. And God is moving in and through my family. And it matters. It matters that I take my kids with me. It matters that I put them on my back and we start praying and worshiping, interceding, and they fall asleep. What a better way to fall asleep, honestly. Like literally worship in prayer, the presence of God, and you're on your mom's chest. Like that's just amazing. And so I was like, yes, I want to be like this. But we left our missions organization before we had kids. So I was always kind of bummed. I was like, oh, we never got to experience that. Never got to see what that was like. But then last Labor Day, our college team took a Labor Day trip to Cooper Lake State Park. I don't recommend Cooper Lake State Park, honestly, but it was a great time. We had fun. Ben's laughing. He was like, bad choice, bad choice. But it was great. We had a good time. And so we're at Cooper Lake State Park, and we're having a nighttime, right? It's getting close to night. We brought our two kids with us at the time. So I was 37 weeks pregnant with Kaylee, and Kason was 4, Chandler was 2, and Christopher went with me, and we were at this Labor Day retreat. And we built a campfire, and it was pretty cool. Christopher actually got to help build the campfire with one of the college kids, and my kids were like running around, picking up sticks, like helping out. They're like, okay, we're gonna help too. And they built the campfire. And then they're roasting s'mores, making marshmallows, and my kids are just all up in it. They're loving it, right? And then one of the college kids gets up and he shares his testimony. And my kids are just sitting there eating their s'mores, listening to this college kid share his testimony. And seeds are being planted in my kids. Whether I see it now or not, like they're being planted. Their lives are being transformed because they are seeing college kids run and chase after Jesus. They are seeing that, oh, my life can look like this. I can do this. And it matters. It matters that they come with us. And so he shares his testimony, and then they get up and they do worship. And so we're worshiping, and my kids are worshiping, and Chandler runs up to me. She goes, Mommy, I'm tired. And I was like, okay, I'll hold you. So I'm 37 weeks pregnant, toddler on my chest, and I'm like, oh, my back hurts. This is great. And so we're worshiping, and then all of a sudden I hear this noise, and I'm like, what is that? And I look down. She is passed out. She is snoring. All of our kids snore. She is snoring on me, and I'm like, oh, okay, you fell asleep. This is great. And then I look over, and Christopher is holding Kason, and Kason is passed out, like mouth open, you know, on his chest. And I look over, and I'm like, wow. We are worshiping around a campfire. Our kids are asleep right now. We are walking in the fullness of who God created us to be. And I walk over to Christopher and I say, we didn't miss it. We didn't miss it. And he knew exactly what I was talking about. And he's like, we didn't miss it. we didn't miss the call of God on our lives. So I just want to encourage you today that you haven't missed it, that he has good plans for your life, whether you are in deserts or gardens, that you have an assignment, whether you are a teacher or a doctor or an employer or an employee, a nurse, whatever it is, a pastor, a stay-at-home parent, whatever you are and whatever your assignment is, you haven't missed it. He is moving and he is working right where you are, and he's calling you to get up and occupy your space. You are doing a good work. Do not come down. So I'm going to invite the band to come on up. And if you guys will go ahead and stand, we are going to enter into a time of ministry time. So ministry team, if you'll go ahead and come on up as well. And this is just time for us to respond. Respond to what God is doing in our hearts. Some of you, you need to be rooted in Jesus for the first time today. Some of you, you need community. You need to be rooted in your community, rooted in who God has called you to be, rooted in your identity. Some of you may need a fresh surrender today to lay something down. You know God is saying, hey, I need you to lay that down. Come and lay it down. Some of you need to arise into your assignment, to start occupying your space to the full. And if you have any other prayer need, anything else, please come up here. Please get prayer today. We don't want you to leave this place without someone praying over you and believing for God to do miracles in your life. So please come and get prayer.